The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us, John Wilner. I feel like I've been talking more with John than I have my wife here in the last 72 hours. John and I had a late night chop up that many of you jumped on the stream to watch on Friday as the Pac-12 was imploding. Now we've had a few days and there is more implosion. And there is the, this is what we wanted all along. This is what we wanted. I think Notre Dame and Stanford are going to do something together. Just me. Everybody's focused on this whole deal about Cal, Stanford, Washington State, and Oregon State. So I want to chop it up with John because I talk with TV people. I don't talk with athletic directors. And I don't talk to school presidents. I'm certainly not going to talk to them after what happened with the Pac-12. Like, you can't trust these people. You can't. It's not that they're bad people. They're just bad at what they do. Am I wrong? Oh, that's just so unfair. No, it's not. Unless you're, if you're thinking that, you are on the payroll at the university. That's what you are. You're into your points and you're into your paycheck and your pension. The three P's. Points, paycheck, pension. That's what has screwed this whole thing up, because a lot of people just did not want to raise a hand and say, this is wrong, what is going on? And so the Pac-12 blows up. It's not the end of college football. It's not the end of college athletics. Oh my gosh, it's just, I just want it to go back. You can't live life in your rearview mirror. It helps to understand how it happened. This one's pretty easy. They were nincompoops. That's it. How many, we've been doing this since 2013. A good amount of our content has been around how incompetent the conference has been and people within the conference. Like, Arizona State's 50-47 in their last 97 games. Like, this isn't, you know, sleeping giant. You got the sleeping part right. That's it. Nothing else. So we're going to talk with John Wilner. We're going to chop it up. We're going to get in the weeds on it. If you're wanting me to say who's the better quarterback, hey, John, what do you think of the big matchup involving pick a team? That's not happening right now. It's going to happen in a week or two if this whole thing settles down. I still believe the ACC should be smart, forward-thinking, and figure out a way for the ACC and the Big 12 to just, we're going to combine now, because that's where it's going. Big 10 doesn't need the ACC. Hey, let's not forget ACC basketball conference. Brett Yermark is sitting over there at the Big 12. You know, the NCAA tournament sure sounds great. Who's exactly running it? If you're Brett Yermark and you have the ACC and you have the Big 12, you could pretty much do your own tournament, couldn't you? Like, all of this stuff is on the table. And I want to chop it up with John. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business for many, 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 many years. The great people at Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. If you're just finding us, we are self-funded. That means when you see and hear our partners, please support them. I don't put up paywalls. I think there's enough frustration with that. Had people are like, why don't you put up paywalls? Why don't we acquire you? No, we're going to do what we do. Our partners are great. We appreciate them. And there's always room for more partners. So Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong with the show, it's his fault, not mine. Except what I say, what comes out of my mouth. So we're going to talk with Wilner. So let me get into some other stuff. I was that guy. We are a soccer family. Sesmats are soccer fans. We were club soccer parents. We had a daughter who had a soccer scholarship in college. We have a lot of ACLs. We built wings at hospitals to prove that we have been out there in the space. So when the Women's World Cup was played, or has been played through the years, we find our way to watch, to take it in, to make a party out of it. So there we were yesterday morning. The alarm went off at 1:30. I stumble in 2 a.m. and I watched the Women's World Cup, and it was an amazing match. I'm sure many of you did not watch it. Not many people are going to get up at 2 a.m. You might watch it on replay. And they end up losing. they're out. And they didn't look great. The world's catching up. That's the easy thing to say. Players like Julie Ertz and Megan Rapinoe are now going to retire. There needs to be new players. Mia Hamm is in the stands watching. Change happens. As much as people don't like to admit it, change happens. Do you remember back in the day when we watched? Yeah, it's over. Not going back. Do you remember when we watched the Women's World Cup? Boy, they really don't know what they're doing now. Really? Is it they don't know what they're doing? Or is the rest of the world catching up? Are we not as aggressive as we need to be in this space of Women's World Cup or other sports? Look at the NBA. Are we still the dominant? Can you put together a worldwide team to take on a group of USA players and win about half, maybe more of the time? Yeah, you can. Really not that hard, especially when you have the man in the middle. Although Jokic, have you seen how much partying Jokic has been doing? Man, he's been at it. So we were watching yesterday. They were shut out in their last two matches in the World Cup. They had 85 shots on goal in four games, and in two of those matches, they were shut out. They had tremendous opportunities, but their star players did not show up. And so we're going to sit here and gnash our teeth about how everything is wrong in America. No, it's a reset. It's a simple reset, and the world is catching up, and that's that. Not that hard. I sat in here yesterday, and I watched the Diamondbacks completely crap the bed. I was in here working on some column stuff and working ahead on things this week. And the game was delayed by rain, and Zach Gallen's pitching. I'm thinking, I hope they don't scratch. A Zach Gallen start's got to be a win. And the day before, their new closer, Paul Sewald, said, you know, we're fine. We're a game and a half back. And I agree with him. There's a lot of panic in the streets. And I think there's also just a fan base that's not very mature. It's hard to go through a pennant race. It's hard to be a team that doesn't get through the dog days without panicking. There's been a lot of panic, like, oh, this is over with because they're playing awful. They have the worst record in the big leagues since July 1st. They have not won a game since the baseball trade deadline. Yet, they're a game and a half out of the wild card. So please breathe a little bit. In fact, they have the Padres for seven games of the next 13 days. They have Dodgers and Padres and Rockies in here. So we're going to know a lot more by the middle of the month. I'm probably going to see them. I'm going to be in Colorado moving my son in on campus next week at this time. I won't be doing the show. It'll be Jordy, I believe. And the Diamondbacks play that night. My plan is to go to Colorado and get him moved in and go to the Diamondbacks game that night in Coors Field and take it in and maybe work a little bit while I'm up there. But they have the Dodgers starting tomorrow night. They're at 57 and 56. They had eight stolen bases yesterday, team record. But they left 12 on. And gosh almighty, they're a frustrating team to watch. Fire the manager. No, it's not firing the manager. Their manager's fine. The Cardinals. We don't talk much about the Cardinals because there's not much to say. If you're wanting me to give you the whole buy season tickets and the fight for 53 and all the nonsense that goes on in August, wrong show. You can click out now. Because I am not going to waste your time and my time with like, wow, this is really great. No, it's not. The Broncos are going to play some of their starters this week. It's worth going to watch preseason football. Okay, it's your dispendable dollar. I'm not going to tell you what to do or not to do, but there's not a chance in hell I would ever do that stuff. There. Beyond that, let's just get to Wilner. You know, John and I have got a lot to talk about. So John Wilner is next. Wilner Hotline, none better. The big story nationally in our country is college athletics imploding, falling apart. Or is it? I still think Apple was the right way to go. I don't care what President Robbins said today. I think it was just we already went through something where we were supposed to get subscriptions and it didn't happen. But you're betting against Apple, man. And Apple was going to do NIL and Apple's on the front end. You know, I'm this close to putting out a tweet saying, hey, by about 2026, a lot of you are going to be saying, wow, that Apple deal is looking pretty good right about now. Or the Big 12, which, by the way, can we get the name changed now? We're going to confuse these kids that are wanting to go to college to learn about math. There's not 12 teams. There may be north of 20, 30 by the time this is all said and done. Go get the ACC today. All right, we'll talk with John Wilner next. John Wilner with us. I see John more than I've seen my wife in the last 48, 72 hours with all the news of the Pac-12. John zoomed in on Friday night. We chopped it up and a lot of fans liked it. We get together every Monday and do this. All right, what has changed? You've had some time to decompress. Sometimes you get away from a story a little bit and then you come back to it and you see things a little differently. What's on your wheel, in your wheelhouse on this Monday about everything that's transpired in the Pac-12, John?
Well, a lot of what I'm thinking about is what's next, right, for the four remaining schools, you know, and we talked about this Friday, is the future for Stanford, Cal, and for Washington State and Oregon State, which could end up in the Mountain West and obviously are resource challenged. Mm-hmm. And got left behind by their bigger in-state neighbors and are facing a very difficult path, especially financially, without, you know, the Pac-12. Where are these schools going to get their revenue to handle their day-to-day operations for the athletic departments? Are they going to have to cut sports? Are they going to have to lay off employees? Those are a lot of questions that have to get answered. And all of them fall under the umbrella of what's next for the Pac-4.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think each one, John, brings a different challenge. I mean, Stanford could go on their own and be in a conference with Notre Dame. Could you see that as where Stanford just says, we're Stanford? I think Cal is the one that's in the biggest amount of trouble because Oregon State and Washington State, for proximity, the universities have done a great job within getting their departments together. You put it eloquently on Friday night how disappointed, devastated, sad you were for those two schools. I just look at the four and say Cal is the one that's not really sure because they're not tied to UCLA anymore other than UCLA is going to give them some money for going to the Big Ten, right?
They're basically tied to Stanford, I think. So to me, the critical piece is Stanford. If Stanford goes somewhere else, it's going to be hard for the three others to rebuild the Pac-12. Stanford has the prestige, you know, was very good in football until recently. I think that they're the linchpin to any attempt to rebuild the Pac-12. And we should know this week, my understanding is that Stanford has rounded up its, you know, highly influential alumni network. Mm-hmm. And is pushing hard to try to get into the Big Ten or into the ACC. And if they do, it would make sense for Cal to come along as a travel partner, right? Now, I don't think either of those is likely. I would say the Big Ten is more likely than the ACC. ACC doesn't make sense just to add two schools. You know, even though the Bay Area would help the ACC network with subscribers, it doesn't make sense to add two schools on the West Coast to an East Coast league. It does make a lot of sense for Cal and Stanford to join the Big Ten and create a six-team Western division of the Big Ten with the LA schools and Oregon and Washington. That makes loads of sense. The question is whether Fox, which basically runs the Big Ten and owns the Big Ten's media rights, can come up with enough money to pay for Stanford and Cal to enter the league. I think we're going to know the answers to all those questions by the end of this week. Then the Pac, well, Oregon State and Washington State will know at that point, are they going to stick around with Cal and Stanford and rebuild the Pac-12, or are they going to have to enter the Mountain West?
Okay, but you don't see any way, because I'm hearing Stanford could go on their own as an independent because they have all the financial resources. You're not hearing any of that on your end.
No, I think that's an option. I don't think that that's their preferred option at all. Mm-hmm. And independent life is difficult because you're not going to get much money. Only Notre Dame is going to get a bunch of money as an independent from TV. And who are you going to play? That is the real difficult part. Are they going to just line up a whole bunch of non-conference games against Mountain West teams? I don't know. I think they'd rather be part of a conference, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But you can't dismiss them going independent. That's probably option, you know, four for them.
The basketball side of all of this, now that we've had some time to let it, and you said something interesting about Fox. Just so we're really clear to go back at all this, Fox is the czar of college athletics. Fox and ESPN, there, when we talk about Greg Sankey oversees the SEC, yes, he does, but he still has people above him that run television networks. This is all TV. So when people are screaming, we need a commissioner. No, the commissioner sits at Fox. The commissioner sits at ESPN. That's it. Am I overstating it, John?
No, I don't think so. They're the two grandmasters of all this. The conferences and the schools are the pawns, really. The Big Ten was not going to expand and add the Oregon and Washington until Fox came up with what's basically $350 million a year to pay for those two schools to enter the league. That's just the way it is. It's been that way for a long time, and it is moving in that direction even further because the schools are chasing the media money. And I don't know. There's nothing going to stop it. There's just going to be more consolidation, and in 10 years, Fox and ESPN are probably going to be paying for, you know, an upper division of college football, and then there's going to be a lower division that's scrambling to find a TV network.
I think Apple TV will be doing all that. And they will own ESPN.
They might. Which is why the Pac-12 really, you know, Apple made sense in a lot of big picture ways for the Pac-12. And I've certainly heard that one reason Fox mustered the money for Oregon and Washington was they didn't want Apple getting into college football.
Yeah, and down here, you know, Michael Crow, as critical as I've been of him, the Apple thing, from my understanding, he talked about it, that was very attractive. So the innovative side of it, this to me just feels like no one wants to play the long game. Everybody just wanted the here's the 30, and you just look at it and say, play the long game with Apple, and you're probably sitting, more than likely sitting there, but Arizona State couldn't go on their own. You're sitting there with a number much larger than $31.5 million, but if you need the money too for your athletic departments to get out of debt, to get pay things down, here's a big chunk of change that can automatically do that.
Yep, for sure. I think that they would have stayed and gone with the Apple deal, except the Big Ten offered the membership to Oregon and Washington. And that was the key. The whole time, the key was the Big Ten. That was the greatest existential threat to the Pac-12's existence. And it was dormant for 10 months, and the Pac-12 couldn't close a deal. And then finally, Big Ten got and Fox got interested in expanding right when the Pac-12 was ready to close the deal with Apple. The way the Apple deal was described to me is it was going to be painful for 1 or 2 years and then a very good deal for years 3, 4, and 5. But Oregon and Washington, you know, thought they had a better opportunity in the Big Ten.
How does this impact basketball?
Going forward?
Yeah.
We'll see. For the remaining schools, certainly if they stick together, that they could add Gonzaga as a basketball only, in addition to any other football members. Basketball in the big picture for the NCAA, you know, it's still far behind football, you know, in terms of a moneymaker, but we're going to eventually get to NCAA tournament expansion. And, you know, the Big 12 views basketball as a real viable, you know, they put more emphasis on basketball than, say, the SEC or the Big 10 do. Certainly adding Arizona improves the Big 12's basketball product immensely.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, you can follow him on social media. John Wilner, great content that is on our site as well at sports360az.com. John and I chop it up every Monday or when conferences just blow up in the middle of the night on a Friday and we do it after dark. You've had some time now to step back from this and look at things like, is the Pac-12, are these schools, let's just focus in on Utah, Colorado, Arizona State, and Arizona going into the Big 12 Conference. We'll get to Oregon and Washington, and it could just be a total conversation. Are these six programs going different directions, equipped to go into bigger conferences that have more emphasis on football? Or do you believe there's going to be some growing pains for these conferences because administrators have no idea how the commitment is? The NIL is what I'm hearing from coaches. Like there's not going to be a problem at Baylor or Ohio State to go dig up NIL, and that these schools that have been in this Pac-12 conference that's been so poorly run and mismanaged don't really know what they're stepping into, and they may think they do, but they don't. Growing pains, John.
Well, competitively, it's going to be very difficult for all of them, I think, you know, even Utah, right? I mean, now Utah is in a 16-team conference, and there's some pretty good football programs in the Big 12. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to be really hard for Arizona State and Arizona football in the Big 12. And it's going to be very difficult for Arizona basketball, right? I mean, this is the trade-off you make. You want to play Kansas in two conference games a year? It's great, but you're going to have more losses coming out of the Big 12, which means you're going to have a lower NCAA tournament seed, which means you're going to have a much harder path through March Madness. Hmm. You look at even for USC and UCLA, much more competitive. You're fighting Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State for playoff bids. Basketball for UCLA, you know, I think they'll probably do okay, but you got to talk about the travel and the wear and tear that's going to take. Oregon and Washington, same thing with football. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State sitting there, Wisconsin, you know, how are they going to do? I think competitively it's going to be difficult for all these schools, which is one reason why at least the six that left last week, you know, or in the last couple weeks, why they didn't think, you know, why they thought about staying was you can the postseason access can be a lot easier out of a smaller conference.
Yeah, and I think on the women's side, look, you've got Stanford women's basketball with Tara up there. That's a rock of a program. But you've got U of A, which is a very, very strong women's program. Now in the same group, Baylor. You know, there's some big-time matchups, not just on the men's side. Everybody's all focused on the men, and that's fine. But on the women's side for basketball, it's like, okay, this is really good on one hand. On the other hand, Stanford sitting over there with their marquee program, really in their athletic department, from my view, is what Tara's done with basketball.
Yeah, and we'll see what they end up doing with the Pac-12 if they reform, what they end up doing with the Olympic sports, right? Because that's a whole nother equation. Stanford could one option might be Stanford puts its you know its football program one place and its other sports another. I've heard you know the WCC would be a good landing spot for Stanford's Olympic sports, and same with Cal. So maybe those two join the ACC as football only members somehow and put their Olympic sports in the WCC. But it is going to be very difficult for the Olympic sports at all the eight Pac-12 schools that are leaving for the Big 12 and the Big 10, it is going to be difficult for their Olympic sports. The travel, the time zones, the competition, you know, competitively, they've got real challenges.
Do you find it odd we haven't heard from the commissioner of the Pac-12 yet?
I kind of think it's odd that he's still the commissioner of the Pac-12. Well,
that's my point. Either you're going to step to a podium, it's Monday. Your conference got blown up on Friday, and he wasn't blown out on Friday night or Saturday, and he hasn't addressed anything. Nothing, not a peep. Like, again, this just goes back to the ineptitude of the conference. You have to say something, or there has to be something. And I'm not one that's like, he's got to be fired on this Friday night. Well, it's Monday. Okay, it's been a few days. The damage is done. Are you conference commissioners still in love with him that are left standing? Come on.
I think that they are, you know, first of all, it's important to note my understanding is that the four schools that are left have the voting rights. Okay. So it's now the Pac-12 board of directors is basically a group of four: Washington State, Oregon State, Stanford, Cal. Their presidents run the conference. They're in charge of who's the commissioner. I would have to think that they don't want George Kliavkoff leading any kind of rebuilding process. Exactly what happens, they're probably figuring out. They got a lot to figure out right now. It was a weekend. I'm sure their attorneys, general counsels are looking through the Pac-12 bylaws for the, you know, exactly how they move forward in terms of governing and voting administratively.
Buy him out.
Well, they could buy him out, but do you fire him with cause? Do you fire him without cause? Yeah. Also, the big piece is the revenue. And what, you know, can the schools keep any of the revenue that was going to go to the eight departing schools? Can they keep it? Can they penalize them in any way, shape, or form? what's the debt like? What are the assets? There's a lot of things that have to be figured out, and one of them is a leadership issue.
Well, and the Pac-12 network. I mean, I'm sure if I put it on right now, I'd see a game of Arizona State against Washington from 1997, and I'd be like watching the History Channel. So what are you going to put on this? Are you going to keep this going for another year? You have to keep it going because you have contracts for this coming athletic season. But the Pac-12 network, if we're going to focus in on that, even though most people have never seen it, it's got to be like we're pulling the plug August 1st or we're going to keep this network. Is there an attraction for schools wanting to come into the Pac-12? Like, we have this network. We'll get it figured out. It's already in place. You can come here if you're Boise. You can come here if you're San Diego State. You're going to be in a bigger, better place than what you were. Is there some attraction in the network, John?
Well, I think there's attraction in the network just as there was if they're going to – if the four schools stick together and reform the conference as the Pac-8 or Pac-10 and they want to do a media deal, say with Apple, the attraction is the Pac-12 network could handle all the production, which is what was going to happen in the proposal that Kliakoff made last week.
Yeah.
Pac-12 network was going to – Apple doesn't do their own sports production, right? MLS is handled handles the production. The MLB game, MLB Network, I think, handles the production for Apple's baseball broadcast. So, you know, if Apple decides, hey, we'll pay 10, 12 million a year to each school for a Pac 8, Pac 10 streaming deal just so we can get a foot into college sports, the Pac 12 network would be the way to do it from the production angle.
I'll let you go off that. I don't want your head to spin too much. Is there anything else you want to add that I haven't asked you since Friday night that you're just like, Brad, this is in my wheelhouse. I want to hit it out of the park here.
No, I think my thing, and I've mostly been focused on the four remaining schools and what's going to happen to them, joining the Mountain West, going to another conference, trying to reform the Pac-12. I have been thinking they need to think big. If they do stick together, they need to think big. They need to not just try to add a handful of Mountain West schools. I think they need to try to really expand the footprint of the conference, get into Texas, and they need to be aggressive, which is the thing that the Pac-12 has not been for years, right? There have been many times it could have expanded. Yep. And the presidents are always like, well, those schools aren't good enough academically. Well, they don't bring us a whole lot of extra money. They're not close geographically. And that attitude is why the conference is where it is, decimated. So the four remaining schools have got to think big and they've got to be aggressive with expansion.
Let's go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Brad.
And we're back with more after this timeout.